Our scripture readings today will be in 1 Peter and in Revelation, from 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deed, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And from Revelation chapter 1, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. Even so, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue to ponder Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, the blood He shed, we pray that You would grant us more confidence in our faith, more assurance of Your love, more assurance of our salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about, for the last few weeks, the blood of Christ, right? As we come to the communion table, we are reminded that Christ's blood is the seal of the new covenant. And we've been talking about Christ's blood shed for us for about 6 weeks now. And we're trying to answer the question, why did Jesus have to die? And why do we make such a big deal out of Jesus' blood? And when we come to our communion time, we take this cup and we are reminded every time we do this that Jesus shed His blood for us. And as we've been going through this series, we've been learning that God has said that life is in the blood. Just as physically we know our life is dependent upon the blood in us, we know that our spiritual life is dependent on the lifeblood of Christ. And today we have two new words that are associated with the blood of Christ in our passage today. In our passage today, we are talking about being ransomed by His blood and being set free by His blood. And other things we've talked about. So we've talked about being cleansed or washed, sanctified, made holy. We've talked about being redeemed and being purchased. And we've talked of all these things, talking about how so many facets of our life are touched on and affected by the blood of Christ. But the big question first we have to ask is, why is the blood of Christ necessary? And each week we have kind of talked about the impact of sin on our lives. That it is not just that we've done bad things that have caused consequences for us, that we're guilty of breaking laws, and that there is a punishment for that. But we've also talked about sin as that corruption of our human existence, that all of us are tainted by sin. That it's not just the things we do, but it's this kind of impulse that corrupts everything we do. So that even our, like last week we talked about, even our righteousness, our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. They're just not good enough. Our passage in 1 Peter this week talks about being ransomed. The idea then is that we are in bondage to sin. We are enslaved to sin. We are in chains that sin in. It captures us. It holds us in its grasp. And we need to be set free from that, and that there is a process that takes place, that there is a price to be paid for being set free. And Peter says, knowing we have to live our life knowing that we were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our fathers. So Peter is saying here that we are captive in this futile way of living. That we are, and that's another way of talking about just that we are enslaved by sin, that we can only live this way and that it's non-productive. That living under this cloud of sin and this influence of sin and this grasp of sin, that it only leads to futility, and in other passages of Scripture, death, right? That it's destructive, that it doesn't bring about life, that we need to be set free from that. And ransom speaks of paying a price to set someone free. In the culture that Paul was writing to, it would have been dealing with either slavery or imprisonment. And there were many ways that you could become enslaved in their culture. One of them was by owing a debt. Like, you didn't have the financial resources, and so you indentured yourself to someone to pay off a debt, or because you just didn't have the resources to survive, you were better off being in the servitude of some more charitable, more wealthy individual. But you could be ransomed out. You could pay a price to be set free from that servitude. Or if you were imprisoned, you might be imprisoned for your debt. You didn't pay off your debts. You were put in prison. And you could pay the price. Someone could pay that price for you to get you out of imprisonment. So that's the idea of ransom. We think of ransom like kidnapping, that someone's asking for a large amount of money. So we kind of get the idea that there is a price associated with setting someone free. And this passage in Peter tells us that the price, the ransom price, was the blood of Christ. And Peter says specifically, he says, the precious blood of Christ. I don't know if you think about precious blood. I mean, most of the images we have of blood are kind of gory, graphic. And yet, Peter tells us that Christ's blood shed for us is precious. That is, like, it's a gift. He says it's precious like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And again, there's a reference to the sacrificial system of the Jewish people, that when they sinned, they were wanting to be forgiven of their sins, they brought a lamb to sacrifice, and it had to be a lamb without spot or blemish. It had to be the best of their lambs, not the sickly one, not the less profitable one, but it had to be the one that was the best, that it was didn't have anything wrong with it, without defect. And that would be the animal that they would sacrifice. And this is, again, an implication that Jesus' life was sacrificed for us. And so when we talk about blood, it's really symbolic, not just of the blood shed, but that he gave his life for us so that we could be ransomed from our sin. So, again, the idea is that we are stuck, we are entrapped in our sinfulness, that Jesus paid a price. And then when we go to Revelation's passage, the Revelation's passage then tells us, Revelation chapter 1, tells that talking about Christ, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. So we're reminded over and over and over in Scripture that it was Jesus' sacrifice that dealt completely with our sins. We are forgiven because of our sin. Our penalty, the penalty for our sin, is paid. We are washed from the stain of sin. Because we've been washed from the stain of sin, we are set apart and holy to God. And now it talks about freedom. Freedom from sin. The implication, again, is that prior to this spiritual transformation that takes place at the cross and in faith in Christ, we were in an environment where we did not have freedom. We couldn't choose to live completely and wholly for God the way that God intends us. We couldn't be obedient. We couldn't be pleasing. We couldn't do the things he desires of us and that he created us for, because everything we did was influenced and shaped and tainted by sinfulness. And so that is the burden of humanity. And we talk about it in a different way. We talk about addictions. Addictions are a serious example of being enslaved to our sinful impulses, to things that we know are harmful and destructive to us individually, that they're harmful and destructive to us, to our relationships and the people around us. They keep us from having productive and healthy lives, and they often lead down a path of destruction. I mean, you look around our country, we talk about an opioid crisis and fentanyl and meth and all these kind of things we know, and alcohol, things we know enslave us. What we don't always take so seriously is all the other ways we are enslaved by sin. The selfishness, the anger, the greed, the immorality, the pursuit of self-interest rather than care and concern for others. Sin just, it corrupts even the best things we do without Christ. And so we are trapped, caged, enslaved, in the grasp, in the chains of sin until Christ sets us free. And the Bible over and over and over insists that this is an act of love, that God sees us in our difficulty, and because he loves us, he has a plan to set us free. And that plan is Jesus. And Jesus, in his own love for us and his love for the Father, he goes through this difficulty of living a human life and going through the punishment at the cross. He bears our punishment. He pays our debt. He sets us free by shedding his blood. So on one hand, when we talk about freedom, we're talking about being set free from something. We were enslaved to sin. But we're also set free for something, right? We were enslaved to sin, and we couldn't be what we were intended to be, but now we've been set free from sin. Sin no longer has claim on our life. There might be some residues in our life, some things we still haven't overcome completely, but sin does not dominate or control our life once we've been set free by the blood of Christ, because now we're set free to be all that God intends us to be. One of the passages that might be helpful in understanding this is Romans chapter 6. It's talking about being baptized into Christ's death. It says, for verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again, and death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also, this is the part you need to hear, must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. We were set free. Now we are dead to sin. We are free from sin. We are alive to God. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So the picture here that I want us to take away from the message today is that, yes, sin had terrible control over our life. And if you are not in Christ, it still has terrible control over your life. But when you come to Christ, you have been ransomed through his blood shed for you on the cross. The fact that he died in your place. You have been set free from sin. You do not have to give in to temptation anymore. You have an out. You have an opportunity to do the right thing because you've been set free from the power that sin has over your life. You've been set free to choose to live holy for God. Holy in the sense of completely. Holy in the sense of pure. You can live well for God because you have been set free from the power of sin over your life. That's the power of the blood that we were talking about in the song we sang earlier in the day. There's power in the blood. It sets us free. Sometimes that's hard to believe. We live in a world that is so damaged because of the corruption of lives through sin. We see it in our own community. We see it in the world around us. We see families that can't get along. We see abuse in homes. We see neglect. We see addictions. We see greed. We see all the carrying out of sin. And we do live in a broken world. And it is going to affect us in the sense that the world around us is damaged by it. But we also have this great hope that we have been set free from that. And we can be different. And we can make a difference because God has called us to be different. And we're supposed to be light in the world, sharing the good news that we can be set free, that we don't have to live completely in this brokenness. And that is done not be it by any. I'm not better than anyone else. That's not what gives me the right to have that message. I have the right to that message because it's the message of God's grace, of what God has done for me, for you, and for the world. And there should be a burden in us to share that good news with others. By our example, by our testimony, by our care and concern for the world around us, we can bring healing into the brokenness of this sinful world around us because we have presence and the power of Christ with us wherever we go. The power that cancels sin, the power that sets us free, can make a difference each day in our lives and the lives of those around us. So when we go to the communion table, we are reminded every time that Jesus shed his blood for us, his precious blood. And that because of that, we have been set free. We have hope. We have life. We have opportunity. We are free, free indeed, right? So let's pray now. Heavenly Father, help us to really truly grasp how free we are in Christ and how confident we can be that our future is secure, not because we have accomplished anything, but because of all that Christ has accomplished for us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.